Get your copy of Pastor Joshua's brand new book entitled Sonship, The Mantle, The Journey, The Double Portion. In this book, Pastor Joshua takes the reader on a discovery of the life of a true son through the study of the scripture and powerful testimonies. Pastor Joshua shines the light on many pitfalls that ensnare today's generation while revealing the true picture of faithful spiritual sons and daughters. This book reveals the principles and praxis of sonship that this generation desperately needs in order to release an empowerment to be world changers. To purchase your copy of Sonship for the low price of $12.95, visit us online at www.highpraisepc.com. That's www.highpraisepc.com. Get your copy today.
Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 say this: Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and then turn the hearts of the children unto their fathers. I find it so fascinating that there are so many leaders within the body of Christ that over the past 5 to 10 years, I'm talking about generals in the body of Christ that have said that they've had encounters with God where God has told them it is time to shift your focus and begin to focus on sons and daughters that are coming up in the earth today. And I believe that the appropriate response and the biblical response that we see here in Malachi 4:6 is that as the hearts of fathers are turning toward their children, that children then turn unto their fathers. Now, I believe this is talking about natural fathers and sons, but I believe it goes even further than that. I mean, that every biblical, or let me put it this way, that most biblical passages have them have more than one application. The Bible is very deep. You can take and apply different passages to different things, and they are just as true to one as they are to the other. So while this is talking about natural fathers and their natural children, I also believe this is talking about spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, and spiritual children that are coming up within the earth. I don't have time to really go into it in depth this morning, but it's in the book. You can find out in 1 John that all believers fall under one of three categories. There are fathers, there are babies, and there are young men. There are fathers, there are young children, and then there are sons, there are young men. Everyone falls into one of these categories. That's how John addressed the church. I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men, and I write unto you young children, and I write unto you young men. He addresses all three. Everyone in the church falls into one of the three. And I found that the vast majority of the church falls into the young men category. That is the category of sons. The category of sons. We know that there's not many fathers because that's what even the Bible says. You have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. So fathers are incredibly valuable and something that we as sons and daughters need to embrace the fatherhood ministry within the church, because if you do not embrace the ministry of fatherhood, you will be incredibly limited in what you can accomplish. If you don't embrace the role of a spiritual father to speak into your life, to address things in your life, then you will become severely limited in what you can do. We can just look at natural statistics. And how many know that the spirit realm, or let me put it this way, the natural realm is a mirror of the spiritual realm. The natural realm is a mirror of the spiritual realm. When you look at statistics of fatherlessness, you find that fatherlessness within the lives of people in fatherless homes produces absolute chaos. The statistics are absolutely staggering on what happens whenever there is a home without a father. And let me tell you what, there are a lot of homes, there's a lot of temples that haven't allowed a father to come in and to speak into them. And as a result, it has created absolute chaos within people's lives. Let me just give you a couple statistics on fatherlessness and the effects of fatherlessness. 63% of youth suicides take place in fatherless homes. That is five times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. That's 14 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. That is 9 times the average. Listen, when there is a lack of a father, there is disorder and there is rebellion in everything. Now, the thing about this and the thing that makes sonship different in the spiritual realm than the natural realm is simple. In the spiritual realm, you have to choose to embrace the voice of a father. In the natural realm, a lot of times when you live at home, you kind of have to listen to what mommy and daddy say, to at least to a certain extent. But whenever you embrace the voice of a spiritual father, you have to make a conscious choice that you are going to listen and heed what they say. And let me tell you what, if you are ever going to fully embrace the voice of the spiritual fathers that God has placed in your life, you're going to have to get rid of rebellion, you're going to have to get rid of pride, you're going to have to get rid of self-will, because all of those things will fly in the face of what spiritual authority tells you to do. Well, I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I don't need the voice of some pastor or some leader telling me what to do. Timothy was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he still had a spiritual father named Paul that wrote him letters addressing him and telling him what to do. Well, that just sounds Old Testament. Well, my friend, you need to read the Bible if you believe that it is simply an Old Testament principle, because Timothy was in the New Testament. Whenever John wrote the letter, it was to a New Testament church, and he said, I write unto you fathers. He wasn't simply talking to people who are naturally fathers. He was talking to spiritual fathers in the church. You have to heed their voices. You can't ignore them. I find it so fascinating. I don't know how many of you, by the beginning of the year, there's started to come a lot of words, prophetic words from very reputable voices that began to prophesy about this being a year of the double portion. Anybody hear the words about the year of the double portion, double sevens, 2014, the year of the double portion? There was a lot of, and a lot of people wanting to receive in their rebellion, in their self-will, in their pride, in their disconnected state, while rejecting the voice of the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers and the evangelists that God placed in the church, going, I'm going to get the double portion. Listen, my friend, biblically, there is one path to the double portion. I said, there is one path to the double portion, and it's not going through a prayer line and somebody laying hands on you. It's not giving to some TV minister and them sending you a cloth and you receiving a double portion. The only path biblically to the double portion is sonship. What is sonship? It's not some buzzword. It's not some get an anointing quick scheme. Sonship is a lifestyle of being committed to the commissioning and the calling of God. It is being joined and jointed to men and women of God that God has placed in the earth as leaders, and you doing everything within your power and everything within you to serve and to do what you can do to see the plan and wills of God accomplished in the earth. Everything inside of you. It's not just about you. Double portion anointing was only released from legitimate fathers, and it only comes to faithful spiritual sons who have walked the path of sonship. You can't just show up at some meeting and have someone lay hands on you and expect to receive a double portion unless you've been a son. Deuteronomy 21:17 is the first place that we see the double portion acknowledged in the Bible, and it says, but he shall acknowledge the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. To him belongs the right of the firstborn. A firstborn son in the Bible was entitled to receive the inheritance of that of a father's, twice that of a father's other sons, in addition to the right of succession. But I want you to think about something. I was studying this out last night. It's not in the book, but it's really good. I want you to think about this. Abraham's firstborn son did not receive the double portion. Ishmael was the firstborn son. Did he receive the double portion? No, who did? Isaac. Isaac's firstborn son, Esau, didn't receive the double portion blessing. Instead, Jacob received the blessing. Jacob's firstborn son, Reuben, didn't receive the blessing. Instead, Joseph received the blessing. And still further, when the tribes were numbered, the Levites were declared to be the firstborn of Israel. Hear this, hear this. I want you to understand this. receiving a double portion anointing and a double portion mantle is completely outside of natural circumstances. It's not about where you were born. It's not about what side of the tracks you grew up on. It's not about if you're black or white. It's not about if you are rich or poor. The double portion is released to a prophetic generation that are faithful sons and daughters that live righteously, that live holy, and position themselves properly to receive that from which fathers have to give. Get this. Why was Isaac the firstborn over Ishmael? Isaac was the prophetically promised son through Sarah. Ishmael was the byproduct of a non-covenantal relationship. Why was Joseph, or why was Jacob over Esau? Jacob was the prophesied son that would become a strong nation. Esau valued his own flesh more than the blessing of the father. Why was Joseph over Reuben? Joseph was the favored, chosen son of Jacob because of his love for his father and mother. Reuben was adulterous and unstable. Why was Levi chosen over the physical, natural firstborns that follow? Because Levi was the priesthood that consecrated themselves to the Lord and to his work. You have to understand, it's not about your natural circumstances. It's about positioning yourself properly. It's about showing honor. It's about showing respect. It's about pushing into relationship with the Lord. It's about living righteously and holy and not bringing shame upon the names of the fathers and mothers that you've attached yourself to. It's about positioning yourself as a prophetic people to receive a double portion. Portion that comes from a legitimate father. Hallelujah. No one has any excuse. The only thing that keeps you from receiving a double portion anointing is yourself. And not positioning yourself in the correct place. I believe with everything inside of me, we all know the story. We'll read it in a little bit, but we all know the story. If you looked at the cover and you've wondered what that picture is, that is Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah throwing the mantle onto Elisha. It's a prophetic moment where Elijah tells Elisha, one day you will wear this mantle just as I wear this mantle. But listen, I believe that that mantle was available to any of the sons of the prophets. Elisha simply made a choice to press in further than the rest of them. You have to understand, in their very last place they go, Jordan, the Bible actually says that if we back up, everyone's always trying to get, on that last journey, trying to get Elisha to leave Elijah. They keep, don't you know your master's going to be taken from you today? Don't you know your master's going to be taken from you? Don't you know your master's going to be taken from you today? And every time he tells him, shut your mouth. As long as Elijah's here on the earth, I'm serving the man of God. As long as Elijah still has something to accomplish, I'm going to keep doing what I know I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to stay right by his side. And at the very end, it says that Elisha continued with Elijah, and the rest of the sons stood afar off and watched them. You see, what happened was Elisha chose his level of relationship. Elisha made the choice to press in further than anybody else did. Elisha made the choice that he was going to be fiercely faithful and not a fleeting son. He wasn't going to be like Demas. Y'all know about Demas, don't you? Paul wrote about Demas. He left him for Thessalonica for the pleasures of the world. Now, Demas heard Paul preach just like Timothy heard him preach. Demas saw all the same stuff that Timothy saw and heard all the same stuff that Timothy heard, but there was a difference. Timothy was fiercely faithful. Demas was concerned about what he could get. And whenever a greater opportunity showed up, Demas was gone because Demas was about opportunity, not about serving the voice of the spiritual father. Hallelujah. Elisha made the choice to endure. He was fiercely faithful. He wasn't going to stand at a distance like the rest of the sons of the prophets. He was going to be with Elijah the entire way. Part of the way that he positioned himself is that he chose to honor Elijah. He chose to honor spiritual authority. Now listen, you don't hear messages and stuff like this talked about in the church very much today because we have this idea that we don't want to build up a man. And that is correct. We don't build up a man, but we do honor anointings, giftings, and callings that God placed upon people. We don't worship people. We don't worship the call. We don't worship the anointing, but we honor it. And one of the ways that you honor it is you heed their voices. It's not just about saying, I honor you. Anybody can say they honor somebody. I can walk up to somebody and say, I honor you so much and not mean it at all. I say it all the time. Talk is cheap. Show me what you do, not what you say. I've given this analogy before. I could go up to Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan is 50-something years old. I'm 28, and he'd still take me in one-on-one. It would be ugly. It'd be like 105-0 in 3 minutes. But I could go up to Michael Jordan and be like, what's up, MJ? Greatest of all time? No, you're about to see the greatest of all time. I'm going to get you with a crossover, and you know your little pose you do? I'm going to do that on you. And I could talk all sorts of smack, but at the end of the day, whenever the ball hits the court, yeah. It ain't happening. He'd be dunking all over me. I'd be sitting in the corner in the fetal position crying. Why? Because talk is cheap. It's not can you talk about how much you honor somebody, it's can you show that you honor them. Spiritual authority is worthy of honor. How do we honor? It's not simply saying you honor, you heed their voice, you're obedient, you serve. In our modern culture, we believe that it is the responsibility of spiritual leadership to serve us. Let me tell you what, it's a two-way street. In reality, the way that spiritual leadership serves us is that they equip us. So what Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, Elisha served Elijah, and in the midst of his serving Elijah, he is equipped to be the prophet one day. How did he serve him? How did Elisha serve Elijah? He simply found something to do. Of the at least 10 years that Elisha served Elijah, we have one picture of what he did. And it's after he receives a double portion that we even find out about it, because everybody's shocked whenever he shows up with the mantle of Elijah, and they go, is this the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah? Is this the water boy who poured water on the hands of Elijah? Why does he have the mantle? You know why? Because he was faithful to pour water on the hands of Elijah. He found a place to serve, and the whole time that he's serving, he's being equipped for what he one day is going to step into. Oh, hallelujah. I think about Elijah, and I just see Elijah in my head. Because you have to understand, we meet Elisha, and then he disappears for 10 years at least. He just disappears out of the narrative. He's not mentioned one time until that last journey again. It's at least 10 years there. And I just think about Elisha for 10 years, just, okay, I know I'm supposed to follow. I'm supposed to just, what am I going to do? Well, Elijah's hands are dirty. Let me get some water. And I see him just everywhere Elijah goes, he's got water. Man of God, your hands are dirty. Come here. Next town. Man of God, your hands are dirty. Let me wash them for you. Man of God, you need some water? You need some, think about this. This is one of the most insignificant tasks that anybody could do. He's washing the guy's hands for him. And this is just my opinion. I believe that Elijah probably even told him a couple times, Elisha, you don't need to wash my hands. I can do it myself. But Elijah said, no, you don't understand. Or Elisha said, no, you don't understand. I need to do this. There's one thing I found about, and I talk about this in the book, there's one thing I found about true spiritual fathers is they don't feel the need to be served. True spiritual fathers are not going around begging people to serve them. They don't feel like they're elevated above everybody else and everybody else's peons that God placed in their life to serve them. Actually, the exact opposite is true. True spiritual fathers feel the need to serve everyone else. And part of that reason is because they lived a lifestyle of sonship serving. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Kings 19:21 tells us that Elisha ministered unto Elijah. That word ministered is the Hebrew word sharaf, and it literally means that he served him. Amazes me how many people want the double portion anointing but want to be served rather than being a servant. You know, I was thinking about this. I talk about it, and I was thinking about this. I remember back in a little over a year ago, we had Hannah Lee's first birthday party, and we had it at Pastor Robert and Stacy's house, and we're there, and we're setting up, and I remember I was carrying folding chairs to set up in the backyard. I was carrying these folding chairs, and I was carrying 4 or 5 folding chairs, and Josiah, who at the time, I guess, was 3 years old, comes up. He goes, "Daddy, let me help you. Daddy, I want to help you. Daddy, I want to help you. Daddy, I want to help you." And I said, "Son, I can do it." He goes, "Daddy, I want to help you." And I said, "Okay, buddy, well, here, help me." And I said, "You can take a chair." And next thing you know, his 3-year-old self has a chair like this behind him, and he's just dragging it, messing the grass up in the process and getting the chair really dirty. Maybe not doing it right, but you know what? It really ministered to me, and I received a revelation out of it, and that is this: you may not be able to carry the fullness of the load of what spiritual authority is carrying, of what a father is carrying, but you can take a chair. And you may not be able to do it as well, and you may not do it right, and you may get things a little bit messy, but if you ever want to carry weight, you have to first be willing to carry weight. If you ever want your voice to be heard, you have to be willing to take a chair and drag it across the yard. If you ever want to stand and preach, you better be willing to work the nursery. If you ever want to stand and do anything in ministry, you better be willing to get behind a camera. If you ever want to do anything for the kingdom, you must first be willing to be a servant in places that nobody sees and everybody thinks is irrelevant and everyone else ignores, and you're simply there and you're faithful to serve and to do what God told you to do. And as a result, God elevates you in ways that you can never, ever, ever elevate yourself. I think about, and I'm not trying to, I keep looking at my watch and the battery's dead, so it's not helping me at all. It's been the same time since I put it on this morning. We have plenty of time. It's, or we don't have enough. It's 1:20 right now, so. Been going a long time. But I think about this, and I've told this story before, but it just has a bit of a new meaning to me. I guess it's been probably close to 15 years now. Well, there's a couple different stories. 15 years. There was a couple things that Dad, Pastor Robert, asked me to do. First of all, we didn't have a bass player. At the time we were doing sequence music, Pastor Gil was playing drums and Pastor Robert played keys, and that was our band. We had a two-man band. Had a two-man band, 1999. And they came to me and said, "Would you be willing to learn to play the bass guitar?" And I responded in the way that any good son should respond to the request of father and leadership in their life. I said, "Yes, sir." I'd never thought about playing the bass guitar in my life. Not for a moment. As a matter of fact, I was actually in the middle of getting ready to start track at school. That's right. They begged me to run track. A lot has changed in 15 years. And Daddy asked me to play the bass, and I went to them and I said, "You know, I can't run track right now because I've got something else I've got to do." And I think, first, let me back up and say, before I go any further, let me think of, say this. It amazes me sometimes the things we get short-sighted. I could have been, "Well, I'm a teenager, I want to run track, and it'll give me this and that, and well, this and that." I wouldn't be running track today. There's no way that I'd be running track today. And nothing wrong with sports or anything like that. But you know what? Because I did all that. But you know what? I play bass every week in ministry to this day. And not braggadociously, but I don't know how many thousands of people have been ministered to as a result of me being faithful at 13 years old, 14 years old, to begin to learn to play a bass guitar. And now songs are going around the world. And a sound is going around the world. And I started this simply by saying, "Yes, sir." Fast forward a little bit, a couple years later, we need somebody to do television ministry. We believe God's telling us to start a television ministry. We don't have anybody to do it. We can't pay anybody. "Son, would you like to do it?" "Yes, sir." "Yes, sir." taught myself, or began to learn, began to figure it out. Had another guy that kind of helped me out a little bit in learning some things in Ocala, and he helped me out some in learning, and I learned, and to this day, I am still producing television. And listen, it's not just me that is, or it's not just Pastor Robert's face that is going out. I've been on that show preaching. Oh, hallelujah. And it's literally been seen around the world. Think about this. I sat in a room that nobody else but maybe Demetrius, because he's back there with me in some of the early days, saw me sitting there and directing, and I was faithful with things that no one saw, and God elevated me to where I was on the show and being seen around the world. Because I was faithful in the things that nobody else saw or cared about. Oh, hallelujah. You have to understand, you be faithful. You sell out to the vision that God placed inside of spiritual leadership, and you serve that vision. It's not about leadership serving your vision. It's about you serving the vision that God has placed inside of leadership. I don't care if you don't agree with it all. I don't care if you don't understand it all. It doesn't really matter. If God placed you there, you serve it like it's your own. Go to 2 Kings 6 really quickly. I'm going to do this very fast. A lifestyle of sonship positioned Elisha to receive a double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." Oh, preach on that for another hour. So the two of them went on. Verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. There's that thing I'm talking about, choosing your relationship. They stood in a distance and just watched what God was about to do from a distance. They missed out because they weren't willing to follow to a place that Elisha was willing to follow to. They stood at a distance and watched. It's not that they couldn't follow to, it's that they chose not to follow. Verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Verse 9. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Verse 10. So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses on fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, "My father, my father." It's interesting that he cries out, "My father, my father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Verse 14. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. He entered into a new season. He crossed over. He was no longer the servant, Elisha the servant. He's now Elisha the prophet. How interesting is it that first of all, it all ends at Jordan. Jordan means to flow down. We all know Psalm 133 talks about the oil, the anointing flowing down to Aaron, down to his beard, and even to the hems of his garments. You know, one thing about oil is oil always flows down. Oil always flows down. You have to understand, if you properly position yourself underneath, you align yourself to receive of oil that is flowing down. Oh, I could show you a lot of examples of that, but just don't have time. It all ends at Jordan, it flows down. Whenever you position yourself properly under spiritual authority, oil will flow down to you. Elisha receives the mantle and immediately begins to perform miracles. His first miracle is one of Elijah's last miracles. Parts the Jordan. Elijah parts the Jordan, then Elisha parts the Jordan. I think there's something very significant in that. Of it shows that Elisha is not starting his own thing now that he's received the double portion. I've served you, man of God. Now it's time for me to go do my thing. But rather, he is a continuation of what Elijah has already been doing within the earth. It's this thing with synergy. It's this thing with continuing spiritual legacy. Whenever God has a plan at work, it is bigger than you, and it's bigger than the generation that came before you, and it's bigger than the generation that will come after you, but it all flows together. It's not God doing something in this generation, doing something in that generation, doing something in that generation. There is a continuity. There is a flow of what God is doing that is continual. It is continual. The double portion is about continuing the work of the Lord in the earth. Elisha performs double the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah has 14 recorded miracles. Elisha has 28. It wasn't just simply some double portion buzzword. It was literally a double portion of miracles, of power, of influence, of strength, of everything. Listen, God is causing a generation to arise in the earth today. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, the reason that God is talking about the double portion and the reason that prophets are declaring about the double portion is because God is raising up an army of serving sons in the earth that are positioning themselves properly to receive the double portion and cause the curse to be revoked in the earth. Listen, as long as we live rebellious and doing what we want to do and we don't care what anybody tells us, bless God, God told me what I'm going to do and I don't care what authority tells me, you're going to live under the curse. And a curse will come on the earth because of rebellion in the heart. And listen, there is a generation in the earth today that on the natural realm, just looking at it with my eyes, I don't know if there's ever been a more rebellious, nasty generation that's walked the face of the earth. And I'm talking about my generation. They don't want to listen to anybody. They don't believe anybody has the right to tell them what to do. They turn 13 and think that mom and daddy no longer have a right to speak into their life. I'm grown. You're 13. I know you got a cell phone when you were 4. But just because, y'all think I'm playing. But just because you're 13 doesn't mean that you're grown. And just because you're 20 doesn't mean that you stop listening to the voice of your parents. And just because you're 30 doesn't mean that you stop. And just because you're 40 doesn't mean that you, oh, hallelujah. You continually honor natural authority, and you also continually honor spiritual authority that God placed in your life. It amazes me how quickly we will listen to the voices of civil authority and ignore the voices of spiritual authority. Oh, bless the Lord. And let me tell you something. God has a lot more to say about spiritual authority than he even does about civil authority. But we obey civil authority without blinking an eye. Even if we disagree, we go, well, I got to do it, I guess. Spiritual authority tells us something good and we want to rebel against it. We've got our priorities out of order, even within the church. And we have to understand that the voices that God, because understand this, God will say things to spiritual authority that he won't say to you. That's biblical. Why do you think Paul wrote to Timothy? In the New Testament. It's because God had released some things into Paul that Timothy didn't know about yet, that Paul needed to tell Timothy. We see it throughout the Old Testament. God sent the prophets to give instructions to kings. He didn't tell the kings, he told the prophets. God will speak things. You need to tune your ears to what they're saying. But listen, I believe the reason that there's been such an attack of rebellion on this generation is because there is a mighty anointing on this generation to be an army of serving sons. So the enemy has come in and attempted to attack it with rebellion to try to undermine the very thing that God called them to. The enemy will always, it seems like the enemy will try to attempt to attack you where you are most called. Where you're most called is where he'll attempt to attack you at. So a generation that's called to serve is attacked with rebellion. But listen, I believe as this generation gets a hold of this message of sonship, as this generation understands that they are a double portion generation that's called to subdue the nations of the earth for the kingdom of God and for his sake, I believe that there is a mantle that's going to begin to come on them to be serving sons. Listen. There's an army of men and women that are arising who have gone through the process of sonship, and they're now standing with a double portion anointing, going forth to take back everything that the enemy has stolen. But you have to embrace the mantle of sonship. You have to be faithful. And whenever you embrace the mantle, And whenever you live through the process, you position yourself to receive the double portion. And on the other side of the double portion, you change the world. Everybody's talking about, let's change the world, let's change the world, let's change the world, let's change the world. Be a son, and you'll see the world change. Be faithful, and you'll see the world change. It's not any kind of system we can put into operation. It's not anything that we can do in the arm of the flesh. It's simply being faithful as sons and receiving the double portion from fathers that empowers you to be a world changer. Come on, stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Come on. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout.
Get your copy of Pastor Joshua's brand new book entitled Sonship, The Mantle, The Journey, The Double Portion. In this book, Pastor Joshua takes the reader on a discovery of the life of a true son through the study of the scripture and powerful testimonies. Pastor Joshua shines the light on many pitfalls that ensnare today's generation while revealing the true picture of faithful spiritual sons and daughters. This book reveals the principles and praxis of sonship that this generation desperately needs in order to release an empowerment to be world changers. To purchase your copy of Sonship for the low price of $12.95, visit us online at www.highpraisepc.com. That's www.highpraisepc.com. Get your copy today.